Streaming live 24/7. RadioInfluence.com.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. Thank the Lord that the football season is here now, and we could stop wishing. Hurricane Irma made us Buccaneer fans wait an extra week to see our beloved Buccaneers kick some ass yesterday. I'll get to that in a second. But the football season is upon us now, and you know, I'm a baseball fan somewhat, and I'm a hockey fan, but when it's football season, it's football season, and it's really basically for Saturdays and Sundays. So I sat around Saturday watching a little college football. What I found out about college football is, you know, I played in the late 80s, and college football is very cyclical, okay? When I was playing, it was Ohio State and Michigan State, and those were the monsters back in the day. And then once the 90s, and it changed to the ACC, and it was FSU, and it was the U, and then it was the SEC for a long time. It's changing again. Okay, it's not the SEC anymore, because I'm watching these games, and Florida and Tennessee, it was a great fought game, but after watching those teams, I'm not sure either one of them could be Indiana, okay? I watch a lot of football. I'm not sure. I mean, there's nothing going on offensively with those teams, and I'm watching other teams, and a lot of these teams have, like, lost their mentalities. Like, LSU used to have a mentality, you know. Georgia somewhat, you know, even, like, South Carolina. All these teams have lost their mentalities. Florida used to have a mentality. And I don't even know what they're doing offensively. They're still pretty darn good defensively. Offensively, I haven't seen a really crisp Florida offense in a long, long time. And Tennessee, I'm tired of hearing they're good every year. I'm tired. Every year I got to hear how good Tennessee's going to be, and they lose five or six games every damn year. So it's cyclical. Everything changes. You know, I'm a Big Ten guy, but I say right now, I don't know, Big 12 and Pac 10, I think they're pretty darn strong. Although I watched UCLA P1 away the other day, that was ridiculous. But football in general, when I was growing up, Nebraska was a big team. Nebraska lost to Northern Illinois. When I was growing up, Northern Illinois is losing by 60 to Nebraska. So that's how things have changed. And Nebraska's a Big Ten team, and you know what? I don't claim it. To me, Nebraska and Penn State aren't Big Ten teams. I'm too old school. I can't go that way. And watching a lot of football all weekend long, I understand we're trying to protect our athletes, okay? But it's getting to a point now where they're ejecting players for just playing football. You know, it's really easy for somebody to slow down a film and say, oh my goodness, it's helmet to helmet. Then take the helmets off, okay? If you've ever played the game before and you're trying to hit somebody hard, which is supposed to be the game, I don't know anybody to try to do without their helmet. I swear to God. And it's just, I'm seeing little things sometimes. Like a defensive lineman will push a quarterback in his chest and the quarterback's head will snap forward and hit his helmet and the guy gets ejected. That's a little bit much now. I mean, protect the player is okay, but it's to the point now where there's too much ejecting going on now. And there's a lot of people that are in the Hall of Fame in college and the NFL and everywhere else that play just like that. And now everybody thinks people are bad football players if they hit helmet to helmet, because basically that's how we were all taught. You know when they always say don't hit with the crown of your helmet? I played football from 7 through in my 30s. I never heard a coach say that. Never. I've heard don't duck your head, but I've never heard don't hit with the crown of your helmet. Those are two different things. You can have your head up and still hit with the crown of your helmet, which is a pretty good hit in my world. But if that helmet hits the other helmet, you're out of the game. And you're out of part of the next game as well. So I think that's going to come to a point where it's becoming ridiculous. So I watch a lot of football on Saturday, but my day is Sunday. That's, you know, we talk about in the trenches. Majority of this is NFL talk. If you don't listen to my show yesterday on 102.5 The Bone, which is on every Sunday from 11 to 1, so it's basically your pregame show, tune in, 102.5 The Bone. If you listen to my show on yesterday from 11 to 1, first of all, you would have made a lot of money, okay? Because, you know, I dabble in betting a little bit. And I said, this is how I started off the show. The football gods won't let New England be 0-2. And the football gods won't let Jacksonville be 2-0. I said, so go to the bank and get money on that. That's a fact. Both of those were a fact both ways. Very, very, I mean, like a landslide. I also say this throughout the show. And I said this, I'm sure I brought it up last week in the trenches. I was breaking down Mike Glennon as a quarterback. Now, what has ruined football is fantasy football. And this is how it's ruined football. If you throw a ball 45 times and you have 210 yards passing and one touchdown, that may be okay in fantasy. It sucks in the real world, okay? Because when you're watching film and you throw the ball 45 times and 20 times the ball hit the ground, that's not good football. And if I said, listen, Mike Glennon, I watched the game before. I watched it, okay, against Atlanta. I watched him. Mike Glennon doesn't want to take a chance ever, okay? He doesn't want to throw the ball more than, well, doesn't matter. Okay, put it this way. If it's second and 10, he throws the ball behind the line of scrimmage. This happened whole game yesterday and the game before. If it's third and 10, he throws the ball 5 yards. So you throw it 5 yards, you get seven, and then you punt. But in fantasy, that's a seven-yard completion. Yay, you get some points for that. When you're watching the game, just like yesterday, I said Mike Glennon, unless your team is substantially better than the other team, Mike Glennon is just going to be there to facilitate being below average. That is a below average football player. Athletically, mentally, I mean, wide receivers will always tell you, I'm open. If a wide receiver has one-on-one on a DB, he's open, but he's not open for long. So all this time when you're seeing Mike Glennon dump the ball off 2 yards, 3 yards, that's not because he's making the right read. That's because he's missing reads. You have four receivers out there, I'm telling you, one of them's open. All right? When you watch great ones like, you know, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, obviously Tom Brady. Boy, that ball comes out of their hand really fast. That's because they know where the ball's going. Mike Glennon is just, first of all, you could might as well put a podium up there and somebody half of somebody's body. That's how mobile he is. If he moves his feet left, right, back, or front, he can't complete a pass. All you have to make him do is move his feet, and he's not athletic enough to complete a pass. Yesterday was bad. I'm telling you, I put money on the Bucks straight, and I said yesterday on air, I'm not putting money on the Bucks. I'm betting against Mike Glennon. And that was awful yesterday. And if I'm a Bears fan, I don't know how you can continue to watch that. That's just bad football. I'd rather... And he had I think, four turnovers in the first half yesterday. And, like, the week before, he did okay by protecting the football, okay? But with turnovers, you guys are going to get your ass kicked every time. If the Bears turn the ball over twice with Mike Glennon as your quarterback, you'll never win. It's never going to happen. If the Bucks turn the ball over twice with Jameis as quarterback, we still have a chance. He'll fight back, and he'll figure out a way to get back in the game. That's what he does, because he takes some chances. Mike Glennon doesn't take any chances, so if you guys missed that opportunity, Chicago's not as bad as they looked yesterday, okay? I don't believe so. The Bucks brought him here. It's hot as hell. By the second quarter, those guys didn't want to be out there anymore. The Bucks were in much better shape because, obviously, they're acclimated to the heat, and it was wearing those defenders out. Plus, you know, the Bucks were on the field the whole time offensively. Them defenders it's a lot easier to play offense and play defense. Physically, mentally, the whole thing. And in that heat, it's hard. And when the offensive line is leaning on you and able to run the football, it becomes a real, real long day. So, you know, looking at the way that game started yesterday, Quan Alexander, and before the game started, I said, okay, watch, he's dinking and dunking. And people say, well, Brad Johnson dinked and dunked. Now, Brad Johnson did a lot more than dink and dunk, by the way. Brad Johnson was able to hold on to a football in the pocket for 4 seconds as somebody's bearing down on him and hit a 15-yard out. Mike Glennon can't do that, okay? Trust me. Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl, so have respect for Brad Johnson, please, because people like to talk him down, and I don't appreciate that. But as Mike Glennon is throwing these three-yard passes, I'm sitting here watching with a bunch of friends of mine, and they're like, I told you, Mike Glennon has a good arm and blah, blah, blah. I go, how long do you think it's going to take before we intercept the ball and go back the other way? You can't throw the ball 3 yards every time. A DB is going to jump on it. That's what's going to happen. So the Chicago Bears dinked and dunked, and they completed a few passes early until that thing happens. If you think you're going to complete 20 passes going down a football field, it's the odds are not with you. You're going to make a mistake. It's going to be a tip. It's going to be a sack. It's going to be something. And you're going to be a penalty. Now, if you go second and 15, you're not good enough to get a first down. But to watch these guys, and in Quan's interception early, Quan jumped on that so fast that it almost hit him in the back. Like, he almost ran by the ball. That's how bad and how late the ball was coming out of Mike Lennon's hand. Now, Quan Alexander, who predicates his game on speed, he came out of the game with a hamstring. And you can say what you want, but when your game is literally predicated on speed, you know, Ian Beckles could probably get away with playing a game with a slightly tweaked hamstring, but Quan Alexander, you take away his speed, you know, that's him, okay? And when you take away somebody's speed, you're also taking away their aggression as well. So you got to be kind of scared that Quan Alexander doesn't had this nagging hamstring all year long, because you can fight back and come back and then miss even more. So sometimes you got to sit your ass down, because if you step out of a game on a Sunday, you're really not healthy the next Sunday. It's not happening. If I leave a game on a Sunday, if I leave the game, which it wasn't that often, if I leave the game, chances are I'm not playing the next Sunday, because I wasn't the kind of guy to get hurt for a game. When I'm missing a game, I usually miss a bunch in a row because I really boogered something up. But, you know, if you step out of a game, and I know Quan Alexander's a tough SOB, if you step out of the game and you can't compete anymore that day, you're probably going to miss the next week. And if you don't want to miss it, probably the trainer should tell you probably should miss it. So that's something that worries me, because Quan Alexander is basically Jameis Winston on the defense. Although I'm seeing some other people emerging as leader. T.J. Ward, I thought, looked good. Probably should be good if he played more, but he's still learning the system. I actually saw Conte make some good plays as well, which is good. Pass rush could still be a little bit better, but I thought they did a better job of getting up in Mike Lennon's face. And now Mike Lennon's like 6'8 or something, or he's actually 6'3 with a really, really long neck. But they were getting up in his face, and it was hard for him to complete some passes. Well, he wasn't throwing the ball that damn far anyways. But it's good to see some pressure and some push. They need to get more of that. They need more sacks. You can't let that statue stand back there and throw the ball that many times and not come out with six sacks. I would have liked to have seen a six-sack game in your house. No doubt about that. Now, there's a couple things that I didn't like, okay? That was a game where you come out of it and you say, okay, well, we look pretty damn good. But I'm going to say the same speech to Buccaneer fans that I said to everybody else last week when we were 0-0. It's one game, okay, because we already have people that are buying tickets to Minnesota. And I like Jameis Winston joking around and saying, we're going to Minnesota this week. Hopefully we're going to be heading back there in the near future. That's what I like to hear, okay? But as a fan, you got to keep things in perspective. You got to be realistic about it. You know, the Buccaneers still have to take another step forward, but the Bucs don't have to listen to us. They can go ahead and, you know, be ahead of their time and do their thing this year. I hope so, because, you know, that was fun to watch. Now, Charles Sims, I don't understand him too much. Like, I don't get him. Fumble yesterday, a short yardage run where he went in there and looked like he almost flinched and, you know, cowered. And I'm not quite sure what his role is anymore. Like, if you ask me, who do you want to put in there to run short yardage? Charles Sims is my last pick. I don't know why he was in there in short yardage. Okay. Fumble at a time where it could have just literally put the game away. So I got my eye on Charles Sims, whether he actually fits in here or not, because, you know, when Doug Martin comes back, the Buccaneers are going to have to make some kind of choices, you know, who they want to keep and who has to go. So, you know, you're looking around this Buccaneer team, and what's good about it is there's not a lot of rookies, not a lot of young players playing in too many positions. And if you watched the game yesterday, the punt returner for the Bears, Cohen, who I guess has a lot of ability, made a rookie mistake. And early in the game, when the game is still tight, when you give the other team the ball at a 10-yard line around some, that's a lot of momentum to make up again. Buccaneers take it in for a touchdown, and that's it. The momentum's going crazy. And, you know, looking at Jameis's first TD, that was to Evans, you know, kind of that back shoulder in the end zone. Now, that's an NFL throw, and that's an NFL catch, okay? Like, there's not a lot of receivers that good in the NFL, and there's not a lot of quarterbacks putting the ball right there. And to be honest with you, there's not a lot of quarterback receiver tandems that are that good this year in the NFL. I mean, I'm going to say, you know, Mike Evans is going to get his every game. If he's healthy, he's going to get his every single game. Physically, he's that guy. He had a time where he was having some lapse of concentration. He's not having those at all anymore. Everything thrown to him, he catches. And, you know, he's getting to the point where I see him doing things that Michael Irvin used to do back in the day. And the best ones always do it. If you've seen his touchdown, just before he turns, he gives a little push, just a little push on the defender. And listen, you're going to get away with that because it's so slight that the referee can't see it. But just a little push sometimes keeps a defensive back off you, uses his big body, catches the ball, and that's kind of stuff that you can't teach that, okay? And you can't teach his size and his strength as well. Now, Jameis, I thought, played a clean football game with a couple opportunities lost. I'm okay with Jameis not going through a football game and missing a couple throws and not making bad decisions. You're going to miss throws. But it's the bad decisions. If Jameis eliminates bad decisions from his football game, he's going to win a lot of games. Because those bad decisions are what gets everybody in trouble. All right? Like Mike Glennon made a couple bad decisions yesterday. Probably two or three. Jameis didn't make any bad decisions. Now, there was a two or three times that were down the field. There was guys that could have been hit. I know Charles Sims once was two or three steps ahead. DeSean Jackson a couple times had a couple steps. And hopefully that comes later on. And I'm not a quarterback coach, but from what I see, Jameis is putting a lot of air under the football. It seems like when he's throwing long balls, instead of his arm being flat, it seems like he's throwing the ball straight up in the air for the ball to come straight down. Now, there's not a lot of room for error with that. So if I was a quarterback coach, I would say flatten it out a little bit, okay? Like, he's throwing a ball straight in the air, almost like he's throwing a Hail Mary. He has a hell of an arm. And it just seems he's always out throwing them by a couple, 3 yards. Maybe take a little of the arc off and take away that little piece of error that right now he's just a little bit off. I mean, I'd have to see it on film from if a naked eye from an outsider looking in. I'm sure if that's the case that his quarterback coach is going to sit him down and let him know that either way. But he's just a little bit off right now. He made a half dozen legitimate NFL throws yesterday. And I would say out of the whole game, Mike Glennon made two. Okay, and he threw the ball a lot. And there wasn't a lot of NFL throws being made there on the Chicago side. I'm shocked they didn't bring Trubisky in. Now, Jacquizz Rodgers, who I think is an average running back, but the whole league is full of average running backs now. I think Adrian Peterson now is an average running back. There's about four great running backs in the league. And I'm not even going to call him great yet because I haven't been great long enough. I think he's an average running back. But I think he's more instinctive than Doug Martin, for me. Like, I don't see Doug Martin run up in a whole lot, stop, then go backside. This kid has good vision, okay? I think it's from being short and he's always hiding behind linemen. But I like his vision. And hopefully he's durable because he's not the biggest guy in the world. He's kind of stocky. You know, but going into the season, we're going to need as many bodies as you can at that running back position, no doubt. Now, with Mike Glennon now, we were talking about defensively. What I liked to have seen from Mike Smith was, as Glennon was dinking and dunking, all he did was shrink the field down. So you know, like you get into the red zone, everybody says it's hard to score in the red zone. If your quarterback's not stretching the field, you could shrink the field down and then dare him to throw the ball down the field. So that's what they did. They got a little bit more aggressive defensively, and now all of a sudden Mike Glennon has to make throws into a little bit more press coverage than zone, and he made a couple mistakes and the ball went the other way. So, you know, to me, there was so many balls thrown behind the line of scrimmage. It was crazy. I've never seen that many balls thrown behind the line of scrimmage, seriously. Now, it was good to see DeSean Jackson was brought here for a reason. And with a couple more accurate throws, he could have had a pretty darn good fantasy day yesterday, because it was at least two bombs that were let out there. But I like the fact that he had an intermediate presence. I mean, he had a cut off like a 15-yard out. He had a couple curls in the middle of the field. We know he stretched the field guy, and that's how he's going to make us all better. But I tell you what, when you're getting those grimy yards, I mean, I have more respect for him. Like, a lot of people know Randy Moss to have been taking it down the field, and Randy did that a lot. But Randy got the grimy yards as well. And with the speed that DeSean Jackson has, maybe a couple times we'll see him catch a quick slant. And when was the last time you saw a Buccaneer receiver catch a quick slant and take it to the distance? Like, I literally, maybe Joey Galloway many, many years ago, but we haven't had a guy be able to do that in a long time, so I think that'd be a wonderful thing to see, that's for sure. Now, defensively, I said we could have rushed the passer a little bit better, I agree. Other than that, I don't have a lot of complaints. Other than Quan getting a little banged up, this kid Beckwith, who I don't know anything about this kid Beckwith. I really don't, okay? But I like him. I mean, he's got a little mean to him, you know? And I've been begging for mean. I think Quan got mean in him. Beckwith got a little mean in him. Tandy got a little mean in him. Awards got a little mean. And so we're getting a couple dudes that, along with some finesse guys that are getting up the field, that's fine. But we have to get some SOBs out there. And I'm seeing them show up a little bit more. And I'm seeing the defense with a little swagger, a couple bounces here and there. The offense gets one first down. And that's a shutout yesterday. How good were AFL doing that? And they played well enough to shut that team out. You got to figure, when Mike Leonard went down the field at the end of the game, there was the twos in there. So we'll give you that one, but it doesn't really count. So the defense has to feel good about themselves when they go into there. You know, the offense has to as well. The best equation for the Buccaneers is not throw the ball 45 times, and that's not what Jameis did yesterday. If you had him on fantasy, I'm sorry, but I'll take that every day. I'll take that every single day. By the way, I play fantasy, and I suck. I am terrible at fantasy. I got first week I had 50-something points, and second week I had 110 points and still lost by 20. So I don't know. I think the last time I did the same thing and got my back beat in the whole damn time. So the Buccaneers this week are heading to Minnesota, and we don't know if if my boy Bradford's going to be playing or not. I think they're a better team with Bradford in there. He's always banged up. He's a guy you can get after, and I don't know if he's going to lay it down, but he's a lot less effective. If you give him some time, he'll shred you. He will shred you apart. But that's a whole different feel between playing here at Raymond James and going into a stadium and on turf indoors. That's the one thing I hated, was to play indoors. That is the worst feeling for me. It's sterile. Like, I want to play outside, and I want to play on grass. I don't want to play inside on a carpet, because, you know, falling on a carpet is not a lot of fun. And you know what? The defenders are a lot faster on carpet. And one thing I don't want is for the defenders to be any faster than they are. So they're going to head to Minnesota. They're going to have to play better than they played Sunday to beat Minnesota, I'm telling you. I mean, it's going to be different matchups, obviously. But Minnesota has some really darn good defensive players for sure. And they're a rough, tough football team. And they have been. You always know, you go to Minnesota, you're going to play a rough football team. And they're going to come after you. So I hope the Bucs are ready. You know, you read your press clippings today. Enjoy it. Cut out the clippings. Do whatever you want. Put it in your scrapbook. And then tomorrow, start on Minnesota. And then you forget about Chicago, because, like, I don't know if Chicago wins three games. I'm going to predict Chicago wins no games with Mike Glennon as quarterback. And I know I made the prediction at least twice that give him four games, and Chicago won't let him start the fifth one. They're ready. You should. I pull up Mike Glennon on Twitter. The Chicago fans ain't real happy with Mike Glennon, because you can lose, but you got to go out swinging though, and he ain't swinging. He's not swinging. That's not competing that I'm seeing. So let's hope the Buccaneers head to Minnesota and get this thing done. I watched a couple games last night, late games. That Atlanta game, did you see the Jumbotron on that son of a gun that goes all the way around the stadium, the halo they call it? Everybody's trying to one-up somebody else now. And whoever gets the next stadium, boy, they just keep on acting a fool. I've heard that Jerry World is crazy. Now I'm hearing up there in Atlanta's crazy, and it's not too far away. So I'm actually thinking about heading that way and maybe checking something out. Then I told you guys last week that 1 week doesn't really mean anything, because once again, last week, Blake Bortles was good last week. This week, not so good. Tom Brady was old this week, not so old. So it's 1 week, everybody. I'm going to say that to everybody out there. I'm going to say that to Buccaneer fans. If you start 0-2, you don't have a good chance of making it. So if you're 0-2 and that's your team, it's uphill, that's for sure. But starting 1-0, I think is beautiful with the Bucs. It would have been nice to play the Dolphins if it wasn't for Irma and Jay Cutler in his first game. I'm positive they'd have got that done. They're going to play that later on this season, and I bet Jay Cutler won't even be there. He don't even look like he wants to be there anyways. So hopefully by then the Bucs have some momentum going, and we're all pumped up about this football season. But I am pumped up because it's been a long time since people have been talking about playoffs, and we have our starting quarterback talking about Super Bowl, and that maybe has never happened before. But, the kid has a fever, and hopefully it's contagious. And it's time for the Buccaneers to start winning some games, because I deserve it and you deserve it as well. If anybody wants to contact me, you can contact me at IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. If you guys have any questions, and if you want to check me out, social media, it's at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. I also have another podcast, which I tape on Thursday and it airs on Friday, and that is Flavor in Your Ear. We talk a little bit of everything, including politics, pop culture, music, and the whole nine yards. So I love you guys for listening in. Obviously, you're big football fans and big Buccaneer fans. So let's all rejoice, and let's hope the Buccaneers can get it done next week against Minnesota. Everybody have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.